Well, Pickle Predicts got the win, but the Minnesota Wild have lost a few more guys, notably Kirill Kaprizov and Jonas Brodin. A depleted roster. What's there to worry about? Plus, K-Fans' Brandon Molesky joins us to break it down. And, ironically, our Up for Debate focuses on whose absence, pre-Kaprizov, is most noticeable. As always, we're created by New Voice Studios, presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Jim Beam and Better Edge. This is Season 3, Episode 107.
SodaStick is constantly releasing the best homage gear to Minnesota. Pay your respects to ODR with an association tee or hoodie, or snake any variety of palm beanies for the below zero temps. There's even a Bardown Beauties one for you to grab. Code Bardown Beauties always gets you 15% off all purchases at sodastick.com.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting Let's Play Hockey prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Remember, drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
From New Voice Studios.
Oh yeah, you betcha, let's go on the boat.
Discombobulate on the spot.
Part of the Talk North Podcast Network.
Fly out to Russia personally.
Jesse Pierce.
This is off the rails. We're only already a couple minutes in.
Alexis Pearson.
We're not going to throw batteries on the ice at, you know, Kirill Kaprizov. This is, we're not that crazy. Whoa. Like...
Bar Down Beauties Podcast.
Was it about guys getting hammered down low night after night?
It's like everyone loves to crap on analytics, but the analytics do not lie here.
We are firing Fred at the top of the hour. More hit. It's like tea. Tea.
Starts now.
Hello, everybody. What's up? We're back. I'm Jesse Pierce. She's Alexis Pearson. That's producer Fred. Not a lot of good to start off the top of the hour. I'm just going to dive right into it. The bad, the badder, the ugly. You got no Kirill Kaprizov on the Minnesota Wild. You've got no Brandon Duhaime, Jordan Greenway, Jules Eriksson-Ek, Cam Talbot, Jared Spurgeon, Jonas Brodin. Who am I forgetting?
Brandon Duhaime.
I already said Brandon Duhaime.
Oh.
Keep the numbers roll. Alex Galagoski. Yeah, no, Alex Galagoski. Yeah. I know.
We can't even keep track. I need some toes.
Just the team. Everyone's gone.
Everyone's gone. You got a mix of injuries, a mix of COVID protocols. In COVID protocol would be Alex Galagoski, Brandon Duhaime, and Jordan Greenway. Injuries include Jules Eriksson-Ek, Kirill Kaprizov, Jonas Brodin, Jared Spurgeon, and
Talbot.
Yes. Yeah, that covers it all.
I think that's it.
Awesome. Uh-huh. Minnesota Wild, we are recording this on Saturday, host the Washington Capitals, Alex Ovechkin. Oof, big ol' oofta, you guys. Where do we want to start?
Well, you could literally build an entire roster off of the injured players of the Minnesota Wild right now. You got a goalie, you got your starting defensive pair. I think you could make like, yeah, you at least a beer league. Some boot hockey
action. Fred and I are going to be suiting up likely come next
throw
week.
Us on a fourth line. You might have a whole
we
roster.
We got our own there. Unis. Thanks to
I can just lay in front of the goal and just like, just go.
Double pad stack for eternity. Yeah.
Just a hot mess. So you're going to see the Iowa Wild on the ice tonight against the Capitals. Kirill Kaprizov, obviously, let's start with the big end, right? Friend. Wow, we're going to go with Friend. Frederick of the Boston Bruins with a pretty nasty hit, an undisciplined hit, a not hockey hit, as Dean Evson was very much calling it. And he's right. Against Kirill Kaprizov in Boston. It was awful. The league has not laid down or handed down. I mean, start there. Alexis, are you surprised that the league hasn't followed up? I mean, I know Dean basically kind of called out to the league twice now since that game saying, hey guys, we think this is a bad hit. They think there needs to be discipline because not only are you taking Kirill Kaprizov off of the Minnesota Wild, you're taking him out of the league and he's a superstar on the NHL's scene. So Alexis, are you surprised that there was no call?
Surprised that nothing's happened yet. First of all, I will say that I don't love the, like, when it's a superstar, they should get extra treatment argument. So I see a lot of people making that point and like, yes, it stinks that a player got taken out and he's a big part of this league. But at the end of the day, if anybody gets hurt in the situation, there should be punishment for it. So one, I'm mad that there's been no disciplinary action taken. Second of all, I will say that you see plays like this happen that are hockey plays and they are accidents and players turn at the last second in the wrong spot and they get hurt and or guys get tangled up or someone's moving too fast. It does happen where these are accidents. This was not an accident, and it is so clearly not an accident that there should be no question about what kind of discipline should be taken here. I mean, at one point, the puck is literally in Frederick's skates because he skates over it to get to Kirill Kaprizov to hit him. I mean, there's no argument that you can make that, oh, he was trying to play the puck. Oh, he was, no, he skated right, literally right over the puck and cross-checked Kaprizov, who was in a vulnerable position from the start of that play. He didn't move. He didn't turn. He didn't do anything to make himself more vulnerable. So literally all the boxes that you need checked to discipline somebody for a play like this have been checked in this instance, and something needs to be done about it. Because you can't let behavior like that, go, you know, unnoticed and unpunished. And he has done stuff like this before. So they always take that into account as well, where, oh, if they do this stuff more often, we're going to punish them more often. If it's a one first time offense, we might go a little lighter. He has done stuff like this before, and this one was a pretty bad one, and needs to be punished.
Yeah. I mean, I, like you said, I think that's the biggest thing. He doesn't go for the puck like that. He had every opportunity to just take the puck. That's a hockey play then. Right. And there are accidents that happen. But it was kind of clear. His intent was not necessarily to be out there, play safe. I mean, he was gunning for Kirill, it seemed, quite a bit, and I don't want to harp on it too much, but bad league, bad.
It does seem like this is happening a lot, though. It feels like every single game there's a really, really weird hit against Kirill and everybody gets pissed about it. Is this kind of becoming a norm in the league right now?
I don't
know.
Or
is it just Kirill, welcome to the league?
I mean, it is, right? Like, it's probably the same treatment that Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby have, right? I mean, you know, guys are going to be keeping an extra eye out for him. I don't know that I've necessarily seen, though, the headhunting that Frederick had done, per se, though. I think that you've always seen, obviously, extra attention paid to Kirill and probably maybe a little extra elbow here. And he's a tough guy. I mean, I think that's what people are failing to mention, too. Like, he must be pretty hurt to not be playing, because he's the guy that's as gritty as they come. I mean, he's a Russian. He's a big, burly Russian that's not going to sit out. I mean, his kid loves to compete. So, you know, this is killing him. You know, and it's hard to get a read on how long he is going to be out. You know, it sucks. I think I've seen a lot of WebMD doctors speculating on the interwebs, whether it's a clavicle, whether it's a collarbone, whether it's a ligament. I mean, all those are different things. And of course, Dean Evson, he ain't giving us nothing. So,
one guy we want to be a doctor refuses to be, and everybody we don't want opinions from has them.
It's funny. He did apologize to the media this morning because he was like, I should have John Worley up here because I don't know. I have no idea of timeframes. Promising of timeframes, though. Joel Eriksson Ek is skating with the team. He will not play against the Capitals tonight, but hopeful. Minnesota does not have a game until Anaheim on Friday. So that's somewhat exciting news. I guess Jared Spurgeon has been skating on his own. Cam Talbot has not. So those are some names that you're hoping to get back sooner rather than later. We'll delve more into straight up Minnesota Wild talk with Brandon Molesky in our second segment. So we won't want to harp on that too much. I actually want to talk about a little Hockey Day Minnesota too, Alexis. Down in Mankato, I think I've got beef. I do.
Oh, okay. Air it out.
Mankato East and West, boys and girls, are not participating on the main Hockey Day Minnesota in their own community. They are playing on Thursday and Wednesday, respectively. Is that kind of a slight, like, I feel like that's just a slap in the face. I don't like it. I don't like how it feels.
Yeah, it's definitely not fair. And you could make the argument that nothing in life is fair. But they work so hard to make this a special day, not only for the community that's hosting it, but for Minnesotans and hockey in Minnesota as a whole. And I know when it was up in St. Cloud, I was going to school still at St. Cloud at the time. I was interning at Fox Sports North at the time and got to work the event on site. And it was so cool seeing the St. Cloud, you know, hockey teams playing, the men's and women's. It was the first ever outdoor women's game was at that event. And then you had so many of the high school teams in the St. Cloud area playing, and it's so cool to see those kids and those you know, young adults getting that opportunity to put on a show in their hometown or in the town that they play hockey in. So it's really disappointing that you do all this work to make this event what it is, and Minnesota's in charge of it, right? Like, the community puts it together. It's no outside factor, and you fail to include two hockey teams that literally play in the city that you're hosting the event in. So you do feel, and they're kids too, right? Like, you feel for the kids who probably were thinking they might get a chance to play and now aren't getting a chance to play on the big day. Right. And that's where all the fun is anyway. So.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate for sure. Hi, Kennedy. yeah, I mean, I do, and I don't know that I've heard complaints out of Mankato, and I'm not trying to stir the pot because I love right. Hockey Day. I just kind of, it's been something that's just been bugging me just a smidge because I'm like, well, that is, like you said, it's something special for them. This is in their community. It's in their city, and you'd love to see them get that big spotlight on them. I do love that Mankato is stretching Hockey Day out more than one day. And I think you've seen that in the past. Last Hockey Day in Minneapolis, I believe, exceeded just the one main day event, which is always kind of fun because us Minnesotans, as if the Winter Classic will tell you anything, we certainly love our outdoor.
Give us a whole week.
Like, we'll take what we can get. So just something that I just have been rattling around in the old brain there. That has been bugging me, frankly. You know what else is bugging me, Alexis? I am not winning in Beat the Butte, and that's true.
You and me both at this point. So right? Welcome to Weedy Hut Juniors. We don't have a good time. We take the L's.
What is happening? If you guys haven't come play Beat the Butte, that's on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesdays against me, who was really good and who's no longer good at all. New year, not new me. And Alexis on Thursdays. That's with Better Edge, BETTRedge.com. $10 to participate. All you got to do is guess more correct over-unders than Alexis or myself on that evening's games. We got new boots in the house. You could also go buy yourself a pair of new boots. Again, if you win some money on Better Edge, BETTRedge.com, code BEAUTS, BEAUTS, for a free $10. So that was fun, guys. That was a fun little segment there, right? That was... gold.
No, it was sad. All we talked about was every single Wild player who's out of the lineup and wishing the rest of the team good luck for the next couple of weeks while they try to manage without all the big name players.
You could talk about Matt Boldy or Victor Rask, since those are Victor both possibles, Rask, right?
We entered the draft. Alexis Pearson. Are you excited?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Dude was gone for like a hot minute. He's just back in haunting everyone's dreams yet again.
Yeah, it's a weird time. I mean, Matt Boldy is definitely one to be excited about, and Marco Rossi as well. We got a glimpse of them in the Boston game where the Wild got a win. Matt Boldy got a goal. And my quick one game sample analysis of those two, I thought Matt Boldy fit in seamlessly. If I would have been like a non-hockey watcher, walked in and seen that game, you wouldn't have been able to convince me that was his first NHL game. I thought Marco Rossi was not bad, but also didn't stand out. I thought he was okay. And I think that when you're starting in the NHL in the forward position, in my opinion, you have to stand out for me to think that you made an impact. You can be a little more subtle defensively, and I'll let that slide. But I thought Matt Boldy kind of stole all the thunder of that day. Now, granted, Matt Boldy did set the bar high by scoring a goal in his first game. So Marco Rossi was already kind of at a disadvantage there. But very impressed with Matt Boldy. I give him an A. Marco Rossi, I would give maybe a B, you know, nothing too terrible, nothing too great. But I'm very excited to see what they do moving forward, because we might need to lean on them a little bit more heavily in the next few weeks as guys are, you know, recovering from injury and maybe in and out of the lineup due to COVID. What were your thoughts on them off the bat?
I mean, as everyone probably knows, I'm a huge Matt Boldy fan. I was on board when we drafted him. Like, I like him. I like his, he has just composure, right? I mean, we've had him on the Bar Down Beauties program twice. He's a good kid too. But I kind of agree, right? Marco Rossi, he didn't look bad by any means. Mm-hmm. Like, no, not at all. You know, I just think it did. He looked a little unsure. And I think part of that could be because it seems the impression I get is Marco Rossi is just always trying so hard, right? Like, he wants to just
overcompensating.
Yes. Yeah. And that's almost kind of what it felt like he might have been doing. Again, that's just my overhead view. I don't know that he is, because he obviously has natural God-given talent too. But I think in that instance, in that first debut, and, you know, God bless him, I get it, right? Like, that was me up there in the press box, my first game. I was like, I got it right. Perfect. And I didn't. So, I'm excited to see more. Like you said, they'll be leaned on heavily. Shout out to Connor Dewar as well, who I just love that kid's speed, like, man alive, he can skate. You'll see Kyle Rau as well this evening against the Washington Capitals. Everyone kind of knows what he's all about, but you feel for the Iowa Wild now, because we got all their big guns up here. I'm excited to see an Adam Beckman potential call-up too. I know everyone got really elated and high on him during the preseason, which basically tonight looks like a preseason game. So it's going to be awesome.
Watch that win. Washington win.
Jesse said that in her preview. Yeah, she was like, this is a game they should lose. They're 100% going to win. And I agree, like 100% agree with that statement. Like they are going to come out guns a-blazing and win like some dumb score, like 5-0. Like it's going to be incredible.
It's going to be awesome. I love it. Alex Ovechkin's not going to score probably. Like, something ridiculous, right?
Like, yeah.
Absolutely insane. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll chat more Minnesota Wild talk with K-Fans Brandon Molesky. Stay tuned.
It's hockey season, baby, and the best way to head into a new season is to be fully equipped with all the merch you need to cheer on your favorite teams. Oh, and some Bar Down Beauties merch too, right? Right. We've got you covered. Literally, head over to teespring.com where you can find all kinds of custom design Bar Down Beauties apparel, plus so much more.
We're back. Joining us now, the Fitz, Tenna B. Which, by the way, Brandon, you're going to have to like explain to others what that is.
Oh boy.
I know. I'm excited. Are you excited? I'm excited.
I'm so Brandon, excited to be here.
Brandon Molesky. I know you were so excited you couldn't text me back fast enough when I asked you.
Well, I'm with you. I've got multiple kids and I can't get back to text messages till like 3 hours later. and I have to check in with my scheduler before I can agree to that.
You know, that's fair though. Like kudos to your wife for joining us.
Yes.
Let's talk Minnesota Wild. Maybe do you guys want to do that a little bit?
Sure. I like
might as well. I want to hear, we got to get the explanation on the nickname from Brandon first, because I feel like so many people are like, how the hell this, where did this come from? So let's get that out of the way.
You probably answered this question 100 times too, but
yeah, people now, don't listen though.
What nickname are you talking about? Cause Jesse mentioned the Fitz, but are you talking about Tenna B?
I suppose both. I was talking about Tenna B, but I would deserve an explanation.
So,
yeah.
So there are two questions I get asked all the time from KFAN listeners. One is, common really like that in real life? And two is, where did the nickname Tenna B come from? It's the worst, most boring story ever, and I have to explain it every single time. So, you know, Alexis, before you were born, there was a football by the name of Randy Moss who played for the Minnesota Vikings. And he was speaking to the Tennessee media one day. They used to do conference calls where a player would talk to the Tennessee media over the phone on a conference call. And he jumped on the conference call and he just goes, "Yo, what up, Tennessee?" And you know, it became a soundbite on the station, and we would play it into the ground all the time. And the first letter of my name is a B. So PA one day just said, "Yo, what up, Tenna B?" And for some reason, it stuck. I like the name. I think it's a cool sounding name. I just hate telling the story over and over and over again because it's a pretty lame story.
I think it's a pretty good story. I mean, I think most people, when you start telling the story, they're like, "Oh, Randy Moss gave you a nickname." Then you keep talking, yeah, and you're like, "Oh no, exactly. No, it actually doesn't really have much to do with him." But
well, then, you know, Alexis, I know you've worked out at Canterbury with PA. I worked in the television department at Canterbury for 8 years a while ago, and one time I was going down the escalator, and PA was like following up the other way, and some KFAN rubes go, "Yo, what up, Cheddar B?" And I go, "Did you just call me Cheddar B?" So PA to this day will call me Cheddar B sometimes, just because someone called me Cheddar B. But
PA still has given me, I think, my favorite nickname. And like people who like, I mean, there's very few people who actually know this nickname outside of Canterbury, but he nicknamed me Hyper A, and that's what he's always called me, because I would always show up to Canterbury with an extra large coffee, no matter the time of day. Like if racing was at 5 p.m. on a Thursday, I was there with a big coffee. And so he just started calling me Hyper A because I was always hyped up on caffeine. And so he's a good nickname giver. I'll give him that. I mean,
I could not imagine why Hyper A would stick.
It's fitting, right? Okay, well, how about the Fitz now? You got to tell us the story about that one.
Well, basically, it was more just embarrassing, self-deprecating. So when I fill in for Common as a host, you know, when he's got X amount of days off during the year, and when he's gone, I've got to host the show by myself. And he has compared me hosting to the Edmund Fitzgerald, which was a ship that sunk back in the, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago before I was born. where it was a ship in Lake Superior that sunk and people passed away, unfortunately, which we probably shouldn't be making fun of. So he now names the show Tenna Fitzgerald off of Edmund Fitzgerald, because when I'm hosting the show, the thing just flops and it's gonna sink. And I need lifeboats to help me stay afloat.
Yeah. Wow. Which is why I was invited on once upon a time, right?
Yes, like, you have been one of my lifeboats before. And you will be
beautiful.
Way to go, Jesse.
Thank you. I try to help the people. let's talk Minnesota Wild. Let's start with the positives, if you will. Matthew Boldy, Marco Rossi, Brandon Molesky. I know you had thought that obviously they were going to be very impactful, as did all Minnesota Wild fans. Have they been so far? One game in, Matthew Boldy looks really good. Marco Rossi looks really good. Sounds like they're going to get extended time here too, with players kind of dropping like flies.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Pat the other day on our podcast, Beyond the Pod, about how that's why I'm on here, to get my free plug. We still have to realize these two are very young, mm-hmm. right? What are they, 21 and 20 years old? I mean, Rossi was drafted 2 years ago, Boldy 3 years ago. So they're going to have moments. Like, Boldy looked really good the other day, and I think Boldy is definitely more NHL ready than Marco Rossi. Mm-hmm. I mean, Boldy looks like a player to me. I think that mm-hmm. he's staying here for good. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time believing like his play is going to dip that much where he's going to go back down. You know, we do have to remember though, like, even if you watch, you know, you guys both saw the Winter Classic, like the Kairou kid, he's 23 years old. And 2 years ago, he was in the minors. And then last year, he kind of got his first real taste of NHL hockey and played well. And now he's taken the next step up. And it takes till you're 23, 24 for most players before you figure it out. So there's a lot of high expectations for both of these players, and Boldy and Rossi. And I think we're going to get moments from them. But we do, I think, have to have a little bit of patience, and it's kind of hard to have patience because as Wild fans, we've been waiting so long to have good prospects, and we finally got it. Finally paid off with Kaprizov. We waited 20 years for Kaprizov, and we've waited for to have players like Boldy and Rossi. And I just want people to exercise a little bit of patience here, that it's going to take some time. And Rossi is going to be, you want him to be a first line center someday, and he's not going to be a first line center immediately. Mm-hmm. He might not be a first line center for 2 years, but by the time he hits 23, 24, I really like his game. And, I thought Boldy looked so good. What impressed me with both of them is they looked poised for two players mm-hmm. playing in their first ever NHL game. They look composed. They look poised. You can tell when a player has the puck on a stick, whether the wheels are spinning in the head and whether they're thinking too quickly and the game's a little faster than what they're accustomed to. But, Boldy already physically is mature. He's got the size. He's got the strength. He has the hands. He's a good passer for a guy his size. Mm-hmm. That guy's a player. I don't know what his ceiling is. And Marco Rossi is going to take a little bit more time, but I think Rossi's going to be a player too. He's so smart. And at least as much as it stinks that they have so many injuries and COVID related stuff going on right now, it might be a little bit of a blessing in disguise, whereas these two kids are going to get a full extended look now. It's not going to be come up for three games. And if you struggle, we're going to send you back down and maybe bring you back up eventually. Like, you're going to play and you're going to be allowed to make mistakes mm-hmm. without feeling like you're going to get sent down. And by the time we get to April and May, maybe that's a good thing for this team if they can survive here. Mm-hmm. If they can stay in the playoff chase, that, hey, we'll have these guys really well seasoned going into the playoffs and we'll know what we have. And now we have a very well-rounded team by the time we get to May.
So aggressive, the playoff chase, like, wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, you tweeted, I think it was yesterday, that something to the effect of, the Wild were at the top of the league and they could end up barely making the playoffs and you would still be elated was the word that you used. and you talked about surviving and all of this, and the Wild obviously are coming off a 5-game losing streak. They get a win in Boston, due in part to a Matthew Boldy goal. We're recording this ahead of the Capitals game on Saturday night. But what were your feelings through that losing streak? It seemed like Wild fans went through every emotion in the book, from, I'm devastated, this team isn't going to make the playoffs, to everything is fine, don't worry about it. Where did you fall kind of in that, in that ranking during that losing streak? And even now, they only picked up one win here. Who knows what the next few games will look like, but where are you sitting here?
Well, first off, regarding the tweet, my point was, like, a month ago, if you would have told me, hey, the Wild are going to struggle to make the playoffs, I would have been, right? You'd be depressed. You'd be deflated. You'd be like, well, and now we're at the stage where Kaprizov is hurt. Your two best defensemen are hurt with major injuries. Your best center is hurt with a major injury. You don't have a goalie. You don't have a starting goalie.
Let's just hold that. You don't have a goalie, right? We'll get to that
in a second. but then you got, Greenway and Duhame and Bukes. Yeah. I mean, the lineup you're going to see in Washington tonight would have looked like a preseason game lineup, right? That's what you see in the preseason, where it's mostly Iowa Wild guys, and you've got maybe a line and a half mm-hmm. of NHL players, and that's what they're playing with tonight. So we're at the stage now where they've dropped a little bit, and I just, to me, if you just make the playoffs, but you're healthy come playoff time, I still think this team has a chance. It can be one of the top teams in the Western Conference. Obviously, sure. You're always going to have to go through Colorado in your own division, which can be pesky, and probably end up having to face Vegas at some point. So it's still going to be dicey once you get there. But now my mindset has completely changed. Of just getting the playoffs and be healthy when you get there. But to your question about the losing streak, I've kind of learned over the years being a Wild fan that I try not to get too excited about short stretches of quality play. And I try not to get too down about short stretches of bad play. Yeah. 'Cause it's come back to burn me so many times as a Wild fan. Mm-hmm. And you know, when the Wild started off hot, I tried to hold off for a long time of getting too excited about them. And then through the losing streak, you know, my concern with the losing streak is you get to the point where just the injuries, I'm more concerned about the health of the team than I am, you know. I think once they're fully healthy, do I still think there may be a player away? Yes. But I think that's a team that can be very competitive in the playoffs and can play with anybody. They've got the speed. And like I said, with Rossi and Boldy coming up, maybe that makes us a more well-rounded mm-hmm. team by the time you get to April. But I wasn't down about the losing streak, but now I think it's going to be hard to stay afloat without the player, you know. And unfortunately, the way they operate in the NHL, we never know how long these guys are going to be hurt. Maybe Jesse has more inside information.
Or even what the injury actually is after time.
I directly asked Dean yesterday, and he was just like, doesn't look good. That's his, like, go-to
time. Yeah, like, we all saw that. Thanks.
but even to your point, Alexis, like, my point during the losing streak, when you started to have some injuries, when Spurgeon was going out and Joel Eriksson was going out, my comment at the time was, you know, this is finally, we finally have a team where you can survive some injuries. Mm-hmm. The last 8 years, if you had any injuries at any point, they didn't have like star power to be able to overcome injuries. Like we finally have a player now where you cannot be the better team on the ice, but Kaprizov can win a game for you, or mm-hmm. you can be within a goal 5 minutes remaining in the third period, and you have a play, you have a game changer that can keep you in games. So my point during when you had some injuries was, well, you have Kaprizov and your goalie's got to step up. Those are the two players that when you don't have the depth you're used to, those are the two guys that got to step up. Well, now the goalie's
fast forward 4 days. Yeah.
The goalie's hurt and Kaprizov's hurt. And I don't know if Kaprizov is out 6 weeks. I don't know if he's out two games. Right. Yeah. And so it's hard to analyze moving forward what this team's going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with the goaltending situation because that's Alexis and
welcome to the beef, Brandon. Welcome to the beef.
Here we go.
So I have obviously been on my mountain. I'm going to call it a mountain. That starting of the year, I didn't have confidence, right, heading in with the goaltending tandem. That is Cam Talbot, Kaapo Kähkönen. Not because I dislike any of it. Somebody claimed that I hated Cam yesterday, and I was like, I don't hate the dude. I just don't think he's a solid number one, right? Like, he cannot carry over 85% of the games, and clearly the team has no confidence in Kaapo Kähkönen. So from the get-go, I've said goalie's a little shaky. Alexis, on the other hand, is like, meh, not so worried about it. Where do you feel, especially now? I mean, I think that since Jared Spurgeon and Jonas Brodin have been out, you're seeing more holes in the goaltending, right? Where do you lie? Where are you on Jesse's side or more importantly?
Can I be more in the middle?
I actually want to like add to this question just a little bit. Yeah. I want to know where you kind of sat at the beginning of the season. And then to Jesse's point, where are you now that we're down a goalie as well? Like, has your mindset shifted throughout the season?
Yeah, I mean, I was fine going into the season. You know, Cam Talbot, I thought, had a pretty good year last year, and I thought he was relatively good in the playoffs. I don't think he was the reason you lost that series. So I was fine with the goaltending. I'm not in love with it, but compared to what you had with Devan Dubnyk previously, I went into the season worried about the blue line, where you lose Suter and you lose Susie and you lose Ian Cole, and I didn't really know what you had in Merrill and Kulikov and Ben. So, you know, the start of the season, I thought the goaltending was okay from Talbot. You know, the stats weren't great, but I didn't see many games in which I thought he was giving up bad goals or in which games he was costing you. I thought he was kind of just playing, you know, he wasn't winning games for you, but he was just okay enough to keep you in games. November, I thought he was really good. Mm-hmm. And then December, he kind of dropped back off. And, you know, the last point Jesse brought up is still my biggest concern. If Spurgeon and Brodin are two of the most underrated defensemen in the National Hockey League.
Yes.
And you saw the difference at the Winter Classic when those two were out of the lineup and John Merrill's, you know, playing your top four and, you know, you get in a penalty kill and Kulikov's got to go out there first shift on the penalty kill against the Blues power play. I mean, those guys are fine as fifth, sixth defensemen, but once you have to jump them up into a different role where you're playing up against top line players, you're playing against Tarasenko's, you're playing against that Kyrou kid, you're playing against Ryan O'Reilly, like that's a big step up in play. And I'm not confident they can handle that. So I think, you know, even the Winter Classic game, I know Cam gave up a lot of goals, but I just thought the defense was so atrocious in that game and giving up odd man rushes. And, you know, there were some unlucky goals and second chance goals that I didn't really put a lot of that on Cam. I would say if Cam's healthy going forward, I'm okay with him. I would, if I'm Bill Guerin come trade deadline, I would try to find a second goalie. Now, maybe
that's Jesse's thought too.
Yeah, but to my point on Boldy and Rossi earlier, though, like Kaapo Kähkönen is still a young goalie. And a lot of times it takes these goalies a while before they, even longer than the players, to develop. We saw it with Darcy Kemper after he left here. He played better. So maybe once Kähkönen gets kind of an extended run here, maybe he does perform well. He has been good in the AHL before. That being said, I would likely try to get a goalie before, as of right now, my mind can change. I would try to get another goalie at the trade deadline, someone with some NHL experience. I've thrown out Braden Holtby's name a lot. He's playing very well for Dallas right now, even though the team isn't playing well. That's what you got to look at. You got to look at teams that aren't going to be in the playoffs with a goalie playing well, which is usually hard to find. Usually teams with good goaltending are in the playoff mix, but right now that's not the case. And then in Holtby's case, he's a free agent, and Dallas has their goalie of the future and our Lakeville kid, Ottinger. So to me, it kind of all aligns towards Braden Holtby. It's just 1 year, $2 million. You got to pay a prorated portion of that. You can fit him under the salary cap. He's won a cup before. He's played well in the playoffs before. So one, if Talbot's hurt, which he is, you've got another goalie you're confident in. Or even two, if just Talbot's not playing well or has a bad game or two, you've got a goalie that might take over as 1A. And I don't know if Kähkönen can take over as 1A.
I mean, nailed it. That's everything that rumbles in my little head. Like in starting of the season, I was like, I just don't have the confidence that Talbot can do it. And clearly the team doesn't have the confidence in Kähkönen either, right? Like, that's why they're saying Cam Talbot, you're going to take 85% of the starts. So super frustrating. And like, it's just kind of been a little thing. Alexis, counter.
Please. Yeah. So I was in the same boat as you, Brandon, at the beginning of the season, where, you know, I didn't think goaltending was going to be a concern. I agreed that I didn't think Talbot could necessarily take as many games as he did. And obviously we had a shortened season in that previous season. You were mentioning that he had a good season in, and I agreed in that sense. And I'm like, God, I don't know if he can do 80% of the games anymore. Like that's probably not feasible at his age. But if we can get Kähkönen some reps, I think Talbot is a good goaltender and can get us, some wins. And as the injury happened and now we're seeing what's going on now, it's like I don't think Kähkönen is a 1A goaltender. And I really like Kähkönen. I think he's played some good games for us. He's also played some bad games for us. And I like him, but I don't think he's capable of being a starting goaltender. And you actually mentioned a point, Brandon, that I've kind of gone back to several times in this argument, is that I don't think that you can put a lot of really any of the losses other than that Dallas Stars game before Christmas on Cam Talbot. In my opinion, that was the only game that he lost the Minnesota Wild. And it was very Devin Dubnyk in his last year with the Minnesota Wild-esque. Like, that's the kind of vibe I was getting where I'm like, okay, that's when people say the goaltending is bad. I'm like, but we haven't seen that all season. That we used to see that every other game in Dubnyk's last season with us. And so that's where I'm like, I'm comfortable with the goaltending. I think he's done a good job. And we'll see what happens with the injury and if and when he's able to return and what Kähkönen does in the meantime. But I'm not concerned like Jesse is. Jesse?
I'm gonna
throw something
there.
Out there.
We gotta raise hands now.
I'm just saying. Well, for me, I have raised hands every single freaking day.
Yeah. We usually just mute him.
So
Fred,
Alexis,
yeah, you know.
Is the goaltending good enough for the playoffs?
Yes, I think
to
so.
To me,
I
that's think... like the number one thing. It's like, it has to always be, is it good enough for the playoffs? And to me, nowhere near.
I think so, because to Brandon's point, I thought Talbot played well in the playoffs last year, and I don't think you could blame any
losses.
Not well.
You have to be great to get through the playoffs. So like well and fine, those are your favorite words to throw out there.
No, I disagree. It's gotta be amazing. I think a great
Red's coming in hot.
Well, I disagree. I think a great goaltender can pull an average team through the playoffs, and you do like Jake Allen, right? We always go back to that one. Like Jake Allen was the superstar of that team in that playoff series. So I do agree in the sense that yes, a great goaltender makes a big difference. But I have complete faith that Cam Talbot could win the Minnesota Wild playoff series, and even a Stanley. I could see him being a Stanley Cup winning goaltender, especially with a healthy Minnesota Wild roster. Back to Brandon's point earlier on, it comes down to the overall health of the team. So yes, I think that Cam Talbot could be a Stanley Cup winning goaltender. I see nothing wrong with that. And I understand if people disagree with that, but that's my take on it. Healthy team, healthy Cam. Sure. Stanley Cup.
Well, to Alexis's point, I'll somewhat agree with Alexis here, because
yes.
I think it's possible Cam Talbot can play well enough to get you through playoff series. Have we seen enough to be convinced of it, or to be convinced that he's a dominating goalie? No, but if they went on a run in the Western Conference to get to the Western Conference Finals and Cam Talbot's playing great, that wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. I think it's possibly in him. The problem is we've only seen a year and change of him,
right?
In a Minnesota Wild uniform, and right now, you know, I just think there's so many other concerns than the goaltending at this moment, with just the injuries. I don't care if you have Marchand, Brodeur in your prime. If you don't have Brodeur and Spurgeon on the ice, I think they're going to be in trouble. And maybe having Talbot out and having all the injuries, it's a one game sample size in Boston, but to me, they changed the way they were structured in that game. And they realized, hey, you know, we're not going to have goaltending that's going to just carry us through these stretches with these injuries, and we got to play a little bit differently. And they didn't give up odd man rushes against Boston. They didn't take any stupid penalties against the Bruins, where you were playing penalty kill after penalty kill. They played a pretty smart, disciplined game. I just thought their structure was so much better, and maybe the light kind of clicked with them. Like, hey, this is the way we have to play for now until we get all our players back. So I think they're going to kind of probably play smarter defensively in front of Kakinen, and probably play a little bit more conservatively than they have throughout the rest of the season, knowing that's the way they have to survive given their current state of their lineup.
Well, because you don't trust the goaltending. Like, that's ultimately how it.
Well, they also don't trust their defensemen, and they don't trust their ability to score goals because they have so many goals out of the lineup. So you have to change the way you play a little bit.
I do one more thing to say, and I would love your opinion on this too, Brandon, in regards to playoff goaltending, is that I think a lot of times when you talk about goaltending in the playoffs, you talk about a goaltender's ability to be able to go lights out in the playoffs, and you'll see goaltenders kick it into high gear in playoff time to be able to do that. And maybe their stats in the regular season don't necessarily align with what we see out of them in the playoffs. So I think you have to more so talk about, is a goalie capable of getting to that level? Not necessarily, is he playing like that every single night, but can he do that in the playoffs? Does he have that in him? And do you think Cam has that in him to go lights out in the playoffs?
I mean, Alexis, out of any aspect of hockey, my biggest weakness is like evaluating goaltending, right? Like I coached hockey for 14 years, and I would leave the goalies alone. I'm like, all right, goaltending coach, I'm not talking to them. I don't know how to teach how a goalie can play goalie. So, but you know, I think the point here, Alexis, is if you had to have superstar goaltending every year, you would see superstar goaltenders winning the cup every year. And that doesn't happen. It happened last year. Last year, basically like the four best goalies in the league were in the final four, right?
Yeah.
But over the last 10, 15 years, that's kind of been the exception more to the rule, right? I mean, like Corey Crawford won cups with the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, we had Dwayne Rolison took the Edmonton Oilers to a Stanley Cup one year.
Yeah.
Like goaltenders are weird. And all of a sudden, like, Jake Allen has taken the Blues to the Stanley Cup. Like it's a hard position to analyze. There's a lot of confidence. There's a lot of structure that goes around in front of you, and having trust in the players in front of you, and they got to have trust in you. Goaltending is just a weird position, and you see it all the time where there's a goalie you never thought would emerge in the playoffs that takes off in the playoffs. So am I 100% convinced that Cam Talbot is the answer to our goaltending problems? No, hence I would still try to get him support in case he's not and come up with a 1B to go with him. but I wouldn't rule him out. I thought he played fine against Vegas last year. They went to seven games, and their issue was Fiala and Kaprizov not being able to score. And Cam had games where he gave up tons of goals to Vegas in that series, but for the most part, I thought he gave them a chance to win in most games they were in.
But that's the problem. Fine. He is fine.
Yeah, Jesse and Fred hate that word. Yeah. They like expect everyone to be perfect all the time. So
I don't, I mean, you offended that's how Jesse I live my Fred life. But no, I just think Cam Talbot's never stolen you really a game this year, right? Like, there hasn't been an instance where he's had to step up and steal a game. And now, I mean, him being hurt, totally different situation, obviously.
Can't steal his games right now.
But like, you look at the Dallas game, that was a game that he needed to shine. And he is part of the large reason that they lost that game so atrociously.
For most of the season, he hasn't had to steal games because he's been on a team that's been really good. And they've been winning a lot of games, and they've been in the lead, and they're scoring. They went through a stretch where they were scoring 4 or 5 goals every single night. So he really hasn't been, for the most part, until recently.
You need to stop the puck then when it comes to, like, he still is letting in kind of soft goals. He reminds me of Devan Dubnyk. Thank you.
I'm not ready to put him on Dubnyk's level, but he can play better. I mean, the Dallas game, he did not play well in that game. I still look at the Winter Classic St. Louis game as just complete meltdown in front of him. But you know, I'm always a defensive guy. I grew up playing defense. I coached defense. That's what I look at. I look at the structure in front of you. And if you're breaking down, giving up odd man rushes. But to your point, Jess, you know, one of my favorite goalie cliches I heard playing hockey when I was a kid was a goalie should stop 100% of the saves, or they should save 100% of the shots they're supposed to save, and 50% of the saves they're not supposed to save, right?
That's good. Yeah.
And, you know, I think for the most part, he stopped the 100% that he's supposed to this year. But to move up to that next level, being a goalie, you got to be able to stop 50% you're not supposed to.
Yeah,
that's a good thing. I agree with that.
Reading between the lines, you're on my side, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, whatever. What's the next question?
I'm in between. Let's move on.
Next question then would be, how do you compensate for a Kirill Kaprizov now out of the lineup for foreseeably a longer term injury, right? Like, Dean Evason obviously loves his quote, doesn't look good, but it doesn't look good for Kirill Kaprizov. How do you really compensate for a player like of that magnitude with the Minnesota Wild?
You can't. You know, they're not going to win at the rate they were winning before. He's their best player. I know people throw Jonas Brodin out there, but and he's deserving of the kudos. But, you know, Kirill Kaprizov's the one guy the opposing team is trying to figure out a way to shut him down. And when you don't have that top line, you don't have that power play. I mean, how many times has this team been coming back 6-on-5 in the last couple of minutes? Like, he's a big part of that. Mm-hmm. You can't. You know, the guy basically is on a, you know, scoring over a point a game, and you're not going to be able to recover from that. So, to my point from the Boston game, you have to play a different style of hockey. You're not going to be winning 5-4 games like you were before. You have to be comfortable winning with 2 goals. Maybe getting to 3 goals. And that means you need to play a much more solid, structured defensive game. You got to get good goaltending. Who knows? You guys can debate that all day long. But the problem is if Brodin and Spurgeon are out, I don't know how you're going to survive there. So I guess maybe Boley is ready right now. And maybe Rossi figures it out. And maybe these two can carry the torch and help you survive until Kaprizov's back. And, you know, let's face it, Kevin Fiala is now your star in terms of being able to put the puck in the net. And he's had lots of chances this year, but is not finishing on those. He's hitting a lot of posts. And we saw it a couple of years ago before they had Kaprizov, where literally Kevin Fiala carried this team on his back for a 2-month stretch. And this might have to be the time where, guess what? You know, Fiala, you're going to be the guy on the power play now. You're going to get all the big minutes. You're going to be the guy a couple minutes left in the game that's got to try to tie the game up. Mm-hmm. It's time for Kevin Fiala to play like we saw a couple of years ago. And he has that potential in him. We just need to see it.
Well, do you think that the contract weighs on his mind at all then, too? Like, to Kevin Fiala's point, right? He's like, we didn't extend him. We extended literally every other forward on the team, not Kevin Fiala. Do you think? And I know you've talked to him before. Like, I always get this impression that Kevin Fiala has a very big, like, mental component to him that limits him from exceeding. Yeah.
He's streaky.
Yeah.
he's streaky. He's someone who he needs to see the puck go in the net, and then he can score in bunches, which is what you're going to need. Yeah, I never know how to answer the contract question, Jesse, because I hate to break it to you. I've never played hockey for millions of dollars. And I always find that part amusing because it's like, all right, well, you're making multiple million dollars. You never have to work a day for the rest of your life. even if you don't get, even if you don't sign with the Wild, like, you're going to get paid somewhere else. Like, money's not going to be an issue for Kevin Fiala throughout his career. And, you know, maybe if you're like, you know, a Ryan Suter and Eric Staal, and you've got kids here and you want to raise them here and you don't want to move them around, Kevin Fiala doesn't have that. Like, he's got a fiance, but he doesn't have like a set family that he wants to stay in Minnesota for the rest of his life. Like, so maybe the contract thing annoyed him early on. I think it's just a matter of, he needs to see the puck go in the net, and it hasn't gone in at the rate he has. And then you start thinking too much in your brain. I think Kirill Kaprizov went through this at the beginning of the season, where he did sign the big contract and he struggled to score the first 10 games of the year. Fiala is just a guy who plays off of confidence. And if he gets that confidence, maybe having Kaprizov out of the lineup might help him in that regard. Mm-hmm. Cause he would, like, before Kaprizov came, he was the man, and he liked being the man. He liked being the lead dog. He liked being the superstar, the guy that the whole team was counting on. And he became second fiddle when Kaprizov showed up last year. And maybe that had an effect on him that, hey, I'm not the superstar anymore. And now with the team depending on him, maybe he emerges from that.
I was going to, were you going to say Kevin Faulness instead?
Yeah,
of
you were.
Kevin Fiala?
I heard that.
Like,
I
you
heard
were,
that.
You no. were near.
That's a swear word for me. I don't say that.
Brandon, my kind of last question for you here is, I think at this point in the season, obviously the Wild are in a bit of a weird stretch with injuries and some losses piling up. But I think it's safe to say that at this point, the Wild have had an above average season so far, especially what, when we look back at the beginning of the season and what they've strung together here. What has been the most pleasantly surprising thing for you, or the thing you've been most impressed with about this team, regardless of, you know, the losses they've had recently here? What makes you excited and makes you think, like, this team could be a contender because of this thing? What is that thing for you?
Well, I guess my fear going into the season was one, your blue line after your top four. And two, I was concerned that you would have players that had career years last year not be able to match that. And Marcus Foligno would be a prime example of that, where he historically has not been a huge scorer. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, he can play the defensive role. He can play physical. He's a great leader. He had all those elements I like, but I wasn't convinced, hey, that's a guy, you know, him and Greenway and Eriksson-Ek, I'm not convinced those three are going to be able to score at that rate again.
Right.
And I know Joel Eriksson-Ek has been hurt, and Greenway has been kind of in and out of the lineup with that stuff too. But Marcus Foligno has been awesome. He's not only scoring, but he's scoring big goals, timely goals. You know, Ryan Hartman, I guess we should have seen this coming, because he did have a 20 goal season early on in his career with Chicago. And if you put him with good players, he's dropped off a little bit recently, but the rate that Hartman and Foligno and those kind of players are going, and to be able to get scoring on top of Kaprizov, and Zuccarello has responded with another good year, showing last year just wasn't kind of a 1 year fluke. This lineup, when healthy, first line through fourth line, they're pretty solid and pretty deep all the way through. And now you're just going to add to that with Boldy and Rossi. So I guess, you know, that was the part I've been pleased about the most. And I would have said the third pairing defenseman about a week or two ago, but they're starting to sour on me a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I mean, now you need that depth to really show up, right? Like, we've been talking about it all season long. Like, the Minnesota Wild have the depth. Now it's time to really perform. So we will see. Brandon Molesky, thank you so much. Where can people find you? Where can they listen to you? All that good stuff. I know you and Pat
everywhere.
Micheletti have no, just deadpan.
That's actually pretty accurate.
Weekdays, noon to three on The Fan. Pat Micheletti and I host a podcast called Beyond the Pod, which you can find on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch it on the KFAN YouTube channel. And then Pat and I do Wild Fan Line after 30-ish regular season games, and then hopefully every postseason game that is not at a 9 or 9:30 start.
There you go. Love it. I know Micheletti keeps telling me, call in and give your takes, because he disagrees with me on pretty much everything. So
he disagrees with everyone on
everything. Right?
I don't know if you know this, but he knows more hockey than anybody.
Anybody.
Just
anybody.
Ask him.
Allegedly.
Just ask him.
All right. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is producer Fred. I just want to ask everyone to go out there and spread the word about Bar Down Beauties. Leave us a like, share, thumbs up, review, you name it, we want to hear from you. Find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, your favorite podcast app.
Shout out to Molesky for joining us. Always some great insight, mostly when he, I know he wanted to say it, and he just that he agrees with me in the goaltending. So
you wanted to bully him into it, and he wouldn't, yeah, he wouldn't give it. Yeah. He wouldn't give it.
I do that to everybody. Like, we should all be on Jesse's side. Finally see the light. Come, just come to the good side. It's accurate. Kapokakinen's gonna get traded. I'm banking on it. Write it down.
I'm cutting this and saving this for later.
Do it. Top of the Central Division over there. Anyway, let's dive into our up for debate, Alexis. Just, you know, this is a very negative episode.
I didn't mean to put salt in the wound. It just seemed important, and it's now become increasingly relevant since I tweeted it out last Wednesday. So
when you tweeted it out, right, Jonas Brodin had returned.
Yes. Or
not quite yet, or he was expected to return, right?
He was expected to return. Yep.
And that was from COVID, mind you. That was going to return, and now he's hurt, as we mentioned, correct, along with Joel Eriksson-Ek, Jared Spurgeon again. Joel Eriksson-Ek skating with the team, so potential for him to return. Jared Spurgeon skating on his own, so potential for him to return soon. Broads doesn't sound good. Yeah. That's all it is. That's Dean's favorite line. Doesn't look good, right? Like, well, no, Dean, it doesn't. So, but yeah, your question was, which of those three is their absence most noticeable in? Alexis, what was your first thought?
I think you definitely, in my opinion, have to lean towards a defenseman, just seeing the way the Wild have played through these injuries and kind of the way the pace of the game and the way these games have gone and the defensive holes and the things that the defensive holes have caused in the game is the most noticeable and the most detrimental, in my opinion, to the stretch of hockey the Wild have been playing through injuries and COVID related stuff. Now, narrowing it down between Jared Spurgeon and Jonas Brodin is a tougher question. And Fred brought up the point a few episodes back about the fact that the Wild were winning games without Jared Spurgeon. Now, that's not to say that he's, you know, not important to the team. He's obviously very important, but they were finding ways to do it without him. It seemed the minute Jonas Brodin was out of the lineup, those holes were exposed. And I think the reason for that is just like doubling down on losing two of your best defensemen. That's hard to recover from. I think if like just Brodin would have been out and Spurgeon would have been in, it would have been not as noticeable. But the minute both of them went down, it was a big deal. I'm going to go with Brodin. My reasoning for it is because Brodin is such a mobile defenseman, one of the most underrated skaters, period, in the NHL. And I think you could see in the defensive lapses that the Wild have had, getting control of the puck has been one issue, and breakouts have been another issue. And that's where Brodin is so good at what he does. He's so like calm, cool, and collected back there. And his breakouts are just, I mean, he's so smooth with it that he makes it look so much easier than what it probably is. So as much as I think Jared Spurgeon is a critical part to this team, I mean, he's wearing the C on his chest, for God's sake. But in my opinion, losing a guy like Brodin has some irreversible effects on a roster. And that's why that's the one I got to go with. What about you, Jesse?
Definitely Brodes. And I think, you know, Alexis, you failed to mention why you would notice a defense more. It's because it
goes here we go.
Keeping holes in the goaltending when you're missing solid
here
defense.
We go.
So I'm just gonna throw that out there. That little nugget. No, I think definitely I would go Brodin. I mean, certainly you do miss your captain. You miss Jared Spurgeon. You miss his calm, cool collectiveness. You know, Jared Spurgeon, I think Molesky said it, and Brodin are two of the most underrated defensemen in the league without question. And we're not just saying that as Minnesota people. Like,
yeah.
I think it's genuinely true. And I would lean slightly more toward Brodin. For the sake of conversation, I'll also say a Joel Eriksson-Ek. I think a guy like Joel Eriksson-Ek really would have thrived against Boston. You know, a very gritty game. You want a guy that can get in under a player's skin, and Joel Eriksson-Ek is so good at that. And just that net front presence that he brings. I mean, that I think has a lot to do with maybe a slight lack of scoring. I mean, you got guys that are going to the net, certainly, but Joel Eriksson-Ek, that's his prime spot. So, I mean, I think you're definitely missing him again. Very exciting that he is looking at returning to lineup ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. So possibly get him back sooner, which would be very exciting. But yeah, I think those two. And again, you're missing Spurge. You're going to miss a guy like Kirill Kaprizov probably too.
Yeah.
That was not a part of the options because he was fine. He was absolutely fine. And he's not fine.
At the time, that was literally like the only three that were injured. And then it was like Talbot went down, Kaprizov went down, Bukestad went down. I'm like, well, this argument isn't even fun anymore. I don't like it.
Not great. Yeah, I got a little fiddle playing. I don't even know. Small violin world.
Yeah.
it's sad. It's a bummer. It's that next up mentality. You know, I mean, it sounds so trite and cliche, but it truly is like, now mm-hmm. you get to see what you have in Matt Boldy. Now you get to see what you have in Marco Rossi, and give, you know, guys like Connor Dewar a look as well. And now you get to see why you should trade Kaapo Kähkönen, and get a new goaltender in there. I'm doubling
we're,
down.
We're about to find out what this team is made of very quickly in the next week or so. So it will be interesting time here in the season, because if they could pick up wins while these guys, some of the, you know, bigger name players are injured, that's going to obviously do wonders to the Wild's confidence. If they struggle, it's going to be like, okay, maybe our prospect pool isn't as deep as we originally thought, or as good as we originally thought, or maybe they need more time. So it's going to be Wild Twitter. I'm already bracing for what Wild Twitter is going to be like for the next like week and a half, 2 weeks, because I know it's just going to be a shitstorm and it's going to be stressful. So brace yourselves, everybody.
Brace yourselves, buckle up. Let's go though. I mean, again, every team's going to have to go through it. It'll be fine. We can breathe. Just cry silently in the corner if you need to. It's while you're crying silently in the corner, be sure that you sneak on over, listen to our cues with the Buttes this week. A lot of great questions from you guys. So thank you all for that. Also maybe try to, you know, soften your tears with, a bet on Better Edge, BETTREdge.com, code Buttes, BAUTS, free $10. Maybe go buy yourself a Soda Sick t-shirt. Join the Marcus Foligno fan club, what have you. You could use code BARDOWNBEAUTIES, BARDOWNBEAUTIES, right, Alexis?
We should really get the same code across the board so that this is a lot easier for us to remember.
Yes, so use that for 15% off shipping on all purchases. Shout out to Talk North. We love you. Thank you for featuring us on our lovely network. And shout out to Jim Beam. Shout out to getting a door. If anybody wants to sponsor us, put a door on my
Menards,
office.
Menards, where are you at?
Yeah, right? To eliminate children who love to just steal the show, steal my thunder. So that's going to do it for this week. Love you all. Don't forget to like, share, rate, all that good stuff. You guys are awesome.